email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 551. Now, this week marks the start of Laura Lynn's Children's Hospice Week. It's the only week in the year dedicated to raising awareness and funds for children's hospice services in Ireland. Something which our next guests were hugely grateful for 10 years ago. We've Catherine and John in. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, Ray.
Good to see you. It's hard to believe that the last time we spoke was nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah.
How are you both?
We're good.
We are good. Yeah. Life is good.
Hey, grieving and getting over things and speaking to a lot of people over the years, you know, you never get over something like we're going to talk about, do you really?
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about grief, there is no such following sentence as getting over grief. You live with it and your life adjusts with it, and it can be more acute in the early stages. And sometimes when we feel we're 10 years on now that things are easier, something could happen, bang, and it brings you right back. But
that triggers it again.
Yeah.
And it comes back as strong as it was.
Of course. Yeah.
OK, well, Laura Lynn, and you were there at the beginning of Laura Lynn. And it's, I suppose it's a place that nobody, no parents want to be. Mm-hmm. But when you're there, it's a wonderful place. Is that a good way of saying it? Yeah. You wouldn't be there by choice.
Very much so. Very much so. It was February the 8th, 2012. It was a moment that just things changed for us because our little boy was very, very sick and very unwell. And the minute we got open that door, things changed for us for the better.
So you were pregnant, first pregnancy. Very exciting. How long had you been together?
We'd had a miscarriage.
Right, okay. How long had you been together, Tui?
4 years.
Four years.
Right. And so second pregnancy, and you knew it was twins.
Yeah. And we had it was, everything was going great, and then it was sort of on the 20-week mark, well, just before that, we decided to do one of the posh ultrasound scans, which show everything, you know, and find out the gender of the babies. And it was during that scan that the technician sort of saw something wasn't right with Leo. So she didn't want to speculate until we had the official scan, but she said it sounded like hypoplastic left ventricle, which I know it's. it's a narrowing of. I didn't go into all the science bit, and I probably still don't quite understand a lot of the medical.
But it was a problem with the heart.
It was a huge problem with the heart. And I think Hollisteries confirmed that, but they did say that because his heart was beating okay, that in all probability, would he be okay?
They said with some surgery, he probably would have, you know, a pretty good chance of surviving and having a normal life. But just after he was born, it turned out that that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and so, but that's all we latched onto when they said, so the pregnancy was brilliant and it was, didn't even think of anything negative.
Had been born with that complaint. They'd had surgery and they went on to live relatively normal lives.
Yeah.
Okay. And Molly, perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So they were both growing. Everything was fine.
Yes.
So it literally was. It was, I mean, it was a huge shock, I suppose. And when they were born, he was whisked to Crumlin, which we knew. We'd been briefed on all this, you know. And John went with him to Crumlin and I stayed in Hollisteries with Molly. And then that was a nightmare of a time, I suppose, because the day later, John had to come in and tell me that Leo wasn't going to survive, that he only had days left. And that was horrendous.
That was a long journey. Oh, that was a long car trip.
Yeah. And there you are because you have Molly. So that's joyous.
Yeah.
That's the one side of it. And then you're getting the word that Leo is going to die.
Yeah.
It's imminent.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's going to mess with your head.
it sure did. So I had to get out of bed and say, you know, we've got to go to him. And I'd had a cesarean section as well. So I wasn't really in the
position to do
that. We did. I don't know. I was wheeled there. And he was so poorly, you know, he had other complications apart from the heart that they only discovered after he was born and he had to be operated on. I suppose the big thing, I mean, it's so lovely to talk about Laura Lynn here today, is it's could stop us if we go on. It's very hard to condense our whole journey into a few minutes.
We've plenty of time. We've more than a few minutes. We've loads of time.
But he was so unwell that we did bring him home, and but eventually he kept having to go back to Crumlin, and because he had reflux issues, wasn't it, John?
Yeah.
And couldn't tolerate food. So I think the only thing that settled him, this was a devastating thing, was when they had to sedate him. So that was a nightmare, because if Molly cried, you know, you gave her a cuddle, you gave her a hug. But when Leo cried, the only thing that saved his pain or stopped him crying was sedatives, you know, knock him out. And as a mother and a father, I suppose, that was just devastating.
And there were a few moments where he had episodes, what we called episodes, where he stopped breathing and he came back for some reason. Which we feel we're very, very lucky that we got past those episodes. And we didn't really know what to do, because he wasn't getting any better, and the pain that he was in, it was visible, and it was visible every day, regardless of the medication. And that that day that we went up to Laura Lynn, you know,
they invited us. We met, you see, that I think that's the thing as well. We met a beautiful couple of people in Crumlin, and they were called a palliative care team.
Yeah,
and that floored us as well, because this is all in the space of you know, we're
and you still have another healthy baby there.
Yeah, you know, and we plan to go home, and you know, like, you know, the way people go into hospital, they have a baby or babies, and they go home and they take time off work and they go. And this suddenly we're hearing. I'd never heard the word palliative care in my life. This ends, and then they were just fantastic, and I think we were just blessed, because they did say, listen, there's a place that in Leopardstown, and I think this might be a good fit.
And it was only open.
It was only open the previous September. And, you know, we will forever bless Jane and Brendan McKenna. Jane texted me this morning and she said, please, if you get a chance, Catherine, say hello to Ray.
Right. She's such a beautiful person.
Yeah, completely. Such you know, so like the horrendous story, you know, of their lives.
Yes, Laura and Lynn.
Those two beautiful little girls. I mean, because of what happened to them, it gave us, you know, 570 days with Leo.
570
when we were told he had days, you know. So, I mean, as John said, we walked in to Laura Lynn on the 8th of February as an end-of-life patient, Leo was.
Didn't make any sense. Palliative care, little baby, no, doesn't fit. It's not right. it's not a good fit at all.
No, children's hospice just is.
Yeah,
it messes with the head as well. Yeah.
Was it? They gave us. They said you're welcome here for 3 months, and we sort of were thinking, sure, we don't even have a week, probably, you know. But when we went into the bedroom that was to be his bedroom, there were 10 people sitting there, and 10 or 11, you know, the physio, the doctors, the nurses, the chaplain, like. Just everybody saying, listen, we're here to help now, so you guys can just go and be parents and
function as a family.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is what they gave to us, which we wouldn't have had otherwise. Mm. It was astounding.
And for people who don't know about the services that Laura Lynn provide, so they have all the medical support that you would need.
Yeah.
But it's presented in a more holistic, nearly casual way, but it's in the event that you need it, it's there. So you've all the medical expertise, but you've a lot more than that.
Yeah, and you know, it the pain he was in an acute hospital setting, that was eased in Laura Lynn, because there was the time and the expertise. So it was a more holistic caring setup. You know, the hospital are incredible, you know, but we were shown how to maybe rub his tummy. We were just shown anything that would ease his pain. And eventually, I mean, I remember John when we were told he was going to not survive. John was asked what would be your one wish, you know, and he said it would be to see Leo smile, and we did in Laura Lynn. He got this, you know. eventually. It was slow, but it was. He smiled, and then he never stopped smiling, and he adored Molly, and his eyes followed her everywhere, you know. So they were incredible days up there.
Oh, look at them, the two of them. I'm just looking at pictures of Molly and Leo.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Have you got lots of these around the house?
We do.
Yeah. So 570 days. And I suppose because Laura Lynn was in its infancy, they were finding their way as well.
Mm.
You were allowed to stay there.
Yes.
So it was home from home.
Yeah, I think they had to try and get me to leave. No, we did. We slept. So in the early days, we slept upstairs in the room upstairs, one of the bedrooms. So Molly was with me in the Moses basket. And then John would go home at night and mind the dogs and then come up. And the whole family, my mum, my dad, my sisters, you know, we'd spend all day up there. So Molly learned how to crawl and how to walk. And then Laura Lynn actually helped us eventually transition home, which was incredible. That was in the second year. You know, what they did stuff. What was amazing was there were times when both babies were screaming, maybe, or, you know, there was stuff going on. And I might look around and think, oh, there's no one helping us here. But that was it. We were left to be. Parent, to get me.
See,
no, do you
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes.
They wouldn't be saying, do you want me to change
yes.
Molly's nappier? We were allowed. Mm. I think we even had a row up there once. And they all just closed the door said, you know,
discretion.
You guys need to
You could
out
be
for
forgiven
a
for having a row. Yeah. There was a bit of pressure on there.
Yeah.
And what about, because there's this, you know, it was your first child, Molly, mm-hmm. and Leo, first children, and obviously, it's cause for celebration in your the extended family and friends, and you know, do they say congratulations or what's that like? If you were having mixed feelings, I suppose people who were addressing you, talking to you, it was difficult for them as well.
Yeah, it was. I think my mum had to. I think, you know, when the babies were born, we came home and there were some balloons and stuff around the place, but. People didn't know what to do or what to say. And my mum texted them and said, no, you know, they've had two babies, you know, let's celebrate this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very hard for people. And I'm not speaking just from John and myself's point of view, but from anybody that's going through what we went through and or has suffered a loss. It's other people don't know what to say to you. And I suppose if I was to give advice, you know, if someone said, what would we do? I always think, you know, do pick up the phone, do send a text, do say, listen, just thinking of you. And because it does mean the world, you know.
Mm.
So we're trying to protect other people, really.
Yeah.
And I totally get it.
And they have is it the butterfly room up there? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
So do you want to tell people about the butterfly room in Laura Lynn or...
Yeah, the butterfly room is the room where when a child passes away or is about to pass away, can spend their last days or hours. And so I suppose when we lived up there all that time, we saw that room and didn't want to have it in our minds that we'd be using it one day, you know. And we did eventually. So Leo passed away on the 21st of June, 2013, and summer solstice, longest day of the year.
Right.
And it was unexpected. Like, you know, we were told this could happen any time. The main message, Laura Lynn, we learned from Laura Lynn, was the gift of living with Leo and Molly every single day, and John and myself and my family and the dogs. Because while they knew that he was going to die, it kind of allowed us the time to forget. And we did, you know, so we lived.
Yeah.
We actually lived.
Yeah.
And there were moments, of course. And then there were a few times when he sort of did almost, well, he did kind of, he was declared dead at one stage. And I was with him all those times, and then the very day that he actually did go, you were with him and I wasn't. And you know.
I picked him up.
Yeah.
It was around about, yeah. So he passed away. It was very peaceful. But like, I used to get up, and I think I used to annoy Catherine by saying, you know, it is what it is, and like seize the day and all that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then that day, very peacefully, he slipped away. And yeah, and then we went to the butterfly room, and Catherine. Yeah. Yeah.
Myself and Molly slept there for 3 nights.
For 3 nights, yeah. With him.
So Molly's, it's heartbreaking, and it's tough for you to retell it. I know that, but I think it's important because Laura Lynn needs, people need to hear these stories to know what Laura Lynn does.
Yeah.
And the brilliant services they provide to families.
Yes.
Who are in this position. So Molly is now touching 12.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, she has no memory of her twin brother.
She does have some memories, and she has had amazing support from Laura Lynn, actually a lovely music therapist up there called Helen, who is, you know, through chatting to her and that, because obviously she wants to have memories of her brother. Yeah. And, you know, there will be times, I think maybe when she's older, that she will remember a bit more. And Molly is incredible because she cut her hair and raised, I think, 4,000 or something, along with her
Laura Lynn.
Yeah, for Laura Lynn and her lovely classmates in Mount Anville Primary, Miss McCabe's class, all helped her. But yeah, it's difficult. It's got to be difficult for her. So as a little team, the three of us have to navigate life and together, and we are a great little team, and we have to be there to help her, because, you know.
And there's no textbook for what you went through. And that's the thing. And have you even met families who've had some sort of a similar experience with, you know, one twin dying and.
Not really.
No.
And I think anyway, there's no two experiences will be the same. But, you know.
And intuitively, you're grieving, both of you are grieving, and then you're obviously aware that this Molly needs you to be the best you possibly can be.
Yeah.
So was that a constant struggle?
No. It's not a struggle.
No. I wouldn't describe it as a struggle. No.
But I'm talking about the early days. Yeah.
She was very young. We got on with things. You have to just get on with things. And we had great after support from Laura Lynn. Their bereavement team was fantastic. And John and myself had counselling, you know, up there. We used to go up and chat. And, you know, they have memorial days, which is so good for the families. Yeah. And it's really nice to kind of link in even with other families, you know. So I'd know a few of the moms, and we try and meet quite regularly for coffee, and it gives us a bit of a space to talk about our situation with, you know, as we call it, without it, in a way that we couldn't talk to our normal friends, if you know. There's a great sort of connection, a bond. And Laura Lynn has kind of helped facilitate all of that.
Yeah. And still we are short of hospice beds in this country for children.
Yeah.
All this time on.
Yeah.
And it's only in the recent past that they got government funding.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't meet their full needs by a long shot. So they need to fundraise.
I think it's
sinful that you know, you shouldn't have to come on the radio and tell your story in order for people to put their hands in their pockets and give money to Laura Lynn.
And they have an incredible fundraising team.
Yeah.
Look, everybody agrees that, you know, the whole concept of a hospice is a great idea.
Yes.
When you think about end of life, you think about, you know, people that might have lived a very long and great life, but not for children. You just don't think about that. And you're quite right. The fact that Laura Lynn have to make up the shortfall by going out and relying on the generosity and philanthropy of people. And it's wonderful that there are people out there that will do that and give. But it doesn't sound right.
No. It doesn't sound right at all. Molly is a songwriter, I believe.
Molly is multi-talented. She writes songs. She's a great piano player. She makes jewellery. She made my earrings, actually.
Yeah.
So she's plays GAA and tennis. She's an all-round great kid. Very, very kind child. And we are blessed with her.
And has she written a song for her brother?
She... Has she? Well, she...
There's an instrumental.
There's an instrumental in the works. We won't. Right. It's her story to
yes,
tell.
She so might be listening. So, yes. You know, it's yes, called okay. Midnight Sky and we expect it to be number one.
Yeah. You have to be careful when she's listening because, Daddy, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Be careful about that, yeah. So, Laura Lynn, it's Laura Lynn's Children's Hospice Week and the only week in the year dedicated to raising awareness and funds for children's hospice services in Ireland. And you can go to lauralynn.ie/donate, lauralynn.ie/donate. So what do you want to say to the people up there? You know, now you have a public forum and I probably asked you to do this back in 2014 when you were on the last time with me, but I think it's important. The people up in Laura Lynn, the people...
Oh, the people in Laura Lynn, just thank you, as always, and always ask us and we'll do anything we can to repay the wonderful year and a half that they gave us with Leo, because it's an absolute certainty that had Laura Lynn not existed, Leo would not have survived more than that week we were given. So that's absolute certainty. So we were given a life, albeit a short time, but it was a good time.
Yeah,
I mean the fact that we got to bring Leo home and we were a functioning family and we had such a loving time and he was smiling. They were both smiling. They were both playing, looking at each other. He was grabbing the little Dodie out of her mouth and messing. And we had those joyful experiences. And without Laura Lynn, if ever there was a vocation, people had a vocation, it's the people up in Laura Lynn.
Yeah.
They're just magnificent.
Yeah. I'm constantly in awe of them.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, John. Catherine, thank you so much. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.